Welcome to the UTG podcast. Again, I'm Stephen Grant, and we're continuing our look into the Book of Proverbs, thinking about some of these key issues that Solomon, with his God-given wisdom, wrote about and which are timeless. Today, we're looking at the subject of laziness, and in particular what the Bible says about the sluggard. Now, to be called a sluggard is not a compliment. I can't imagine anyone would take it as a compliment. And it's the word that is appearing again and again in Proverbs, speaking about a person who essentially is lazy. Now, laziness is not just a subject that you get in the Old Testament or in the Book of Proverbs. In fact, when you come into the New Testament, laziness was obviously an issue in the early church. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, and he said this: "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." And I think it's interesting that the severity of that circumstance is demonstrated by the action that Paul teaches the Thessalonian church to take in relation to people who are behaving in that way, that is, that they weren't working. And in verse 11 down to verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and they eat their own bread." And typically, when Paul issues a warning to separate from other people and to put other people out of the church or to moderate your relationship with individuals, you generally find that it's a very serious matter. Perhaps the individual has, for example, denied the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or they're maybe living in open and defiant sexual sin like you have in Corinth. But Paul's command here to the Thessalonian church is to the point, and it's just this: if people are able to work but are unwilling to work, then they should not eat. In other words, don't you support them as a church out of a false sense of love and kindness, because by so doing you're actually harming them, you're encouraging their sloth and their laziness. And that was true in the New Testament, but we want to look back into the Old Testament and the Book of Proverbs. That idea of laziness and sluggards is such an important issue that throughout the Book of Proverbs there's over 20 sections of the book dealing with that issue itself. And what Paul and what the Proverbs are teaching, and we're going to see this, is that when someone is capable, both physically and mentally and emotionally and so forth, if they are capable and have the opportunity to work and choose not to do so, then that is an evidence of laziness. It is being a sluggard. Now, some people just don't like work. Some people don't like to work. Some people don't like the work that they have to do. But work in and of itself is not actually a result of sin coming into the world. You might presume it would be, that perhaps you think that the idea would be that none of us work and that we all just sit about and do nothing, or just sit about and amuse ourselves. But actually, it was never God's intention for men and women to be without work, because prior to the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, God commanded Adam to work. And before sin came into the world, Adam was tasked with serving God, maintaining his environment and exercising that role that God had for him within it. And sadly, when sin came in, pain and frustration became a consequence and a characteristic of the work that Adam and the role that Eve would have because of the fall. But work itself was always viewed in the Bible as divinely ordained and good. And that's encouraging because whether you for a living, you know, whether you dig ditches or whether you preach sermons or whether you drive a taxi or you sit at a screen or whether you keep a home and raise children, whatever it is in and of itself an honourable and noble thing to work. You've got the example in the book of Proverbs drawn from, I was going to say the animal kingdom, but drawn from the ant. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6 to 11, it says this: "Go to the ant, O sluggard." That is, someone who's lazy could learn a lot from the ant, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. And then the proverb goes on to say this: "How long will you lie there, O sluggard, when will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." And there's really rebuke in that exhortation. The need for self-discipline is seen in the example of the ant. With no boss, with no ruler, with no supervisor, with no manager, with no CEO, whatever, the ant goes about its work and accomplishes its tasks without having someone looking over its shoulder, so to speak. And that, by the way, is interesting because Paul takes up that idea when he writes to the Christians in Colossae and says to those who are servants, perhaps bond servants, slaves even, bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so you go back to this idea of an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. And we're working under the gaze of God, primarily, and also for our employer. We work hard because that is what God expects and requires of us, regardless of who is around us to keep an eye on our performance. Well, let's dig into this a little bit then and pick up what the Proverbs say about the sluggard. Some of it's quite amusing, some of it's not amusing. Some of it may well hit home and we can learn from it and perhaps we can identify some of this character within our own lives and eradicate it. So, what is the character of the sluggard? Well, first of all, the sluggard is an irritation to others. Proverbs 10, verse 26 says this: "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him." So, you've got folk that work for you, or rather, you've got folk that are employed by you or are under you within the workplace structure. You're their boss, and you send them to do a task, and the task is never done. That is irritating. In fact, vinegar and smoke are both irritants, and so too is the lazy person working for someone else. Someone who dithers, someone who simply doesn't get the job done and is lazy, just irritates other people. So let us remember that you may think that if it be the case that you are lazy or indolent or you dither or you're not diligent in your task, that, well, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter because by so doing, you are irritating those who sent you. The sluggard is an irritation. Well, what about the procrastinator? That is also being a sluggard. Never do today what you can put off until tomorrow, that kind of idea. And some of the verses in Proverbs speak about this idea of procrastination and the link between it and laziness. You know, you've got someone who just needs a wee bit more sleep and then they'll get the job done, or someone who comes up with all sorts of excuses. I mean, listen to these Proverbs. In Proverbs 12, verse 27, it says this: "A slothful man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Proverbs 26, verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard does not plough after the autumn and begs during the harvest and has nothing. Someone who's always just about to start a job, but not quite. When the time for the harvest comes, the sluggard's not quite ready just to get going. He fully intends to get to work, but he just needs a wee bit more sleep. Or maybe he's got an excuse. He's always got an excuse, like in Proverbs 22, verse 13, there's a lion in the road, so there's no way he's going out and going to his work. All of that sort of thing. The sluggard is also the sort of person that the Proverbs speak about as a rationaliser. There's always a reason for apathy and inaction. And so when the sluggard decides not to work, he'll have a perfectly good excuse or plausible explanation to provide for his inaction. And I mentioned the one about the lion. That's actually a proverb. Proverbs 22, verse 13 says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Now, the likelihood of meeting a lion is pretty remote. I mean, in fact, I could say it's more than pretty remote in Scotland. It's well nigh impossible. I mean, it would take quite a turn of events for there to be a lion walking up and down outside my house. But even in Israel, when this was being written, the Proverbs were being written, it's still pretty remote. And the point was just this, that the sluggard basically fabricates a crisis which prohibits him from doing what he didn't want to do anyway. So someone who is a sluggard will have a rational, contrived explanation always for why they cannot do what they should be doing. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. You know, the sluggard tends to console himself and putting off the inevitable by saying that they just need a wee bit more time, a wee bit more time. So the sluggard is a procrastinator, the sluggard is also a rationaliser, and the sluggard tends to take the path of least resistance. So because of laziness, whatever appears to involve the least amount of effort and gives the greatest amount of immediate satisfaction is the path that this individual will take. And so let me give you a couple of proverbs for that. Proverb 21, verse 25 to 26 says this, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labour. He covets greedily all the day long, but the righteous give and spareth not. He, Proverbs 12, verse 11, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues vain things lacks sense. So the path of least resistance is often the kind of get-rich-quick scheme, the shortcut, the pursuing of the vain and empty and speculative. So Proverbs 28 says this, he who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know what want will come upon him. I see that all the time. The get-rich-quick schemes that are advertised, that people are always chasing that path of least resistance towards wealth and satisfaction and ease. And it usually ends up in disaster. So if that's the sort of character of a sluggard, of laziness in the book of Proverbs, the person who takes the path of least resistance, the person who always rationalizes his inactivity and laziness, the person who's an irritant because he never actually does what he's meant to do, and so someone else has to do it, and the procrastinator who's always going to do it and never does get it done. What are the consequences for someone like that? So if that's the character of the sluggard, what are the consequences? Well, I think this is very interesting, that The first is just this, that a sluggard will have problems that could have been avoided. Proverbs 19 verse 15 says that slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. And so often the result of laziness is poverty. Now, poverty is not always caused by laziness. The two things are not linked in that way. But laziness can cause poverty. Proverbs 6, verse 10 to 11, I've quoted already, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And so if it is the case that someone is lazy, very often the consequence of that laziness will be poverty, want, need, because there is a lack of activity, a lack of work, a lack of endeavour, a lack of diligence in whatever opportunities they have and whatever circumstances they find themselves in, and they do not fulfil the task that they're given, or they do not pursue opportunities, therefore they do not get the benefit or fruit of what those opportunities would provide. Now, the sluggard has more problems than just hunger and poverty. Listen to this. In Proverbs 15, verse 19, the way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. Life can be sharp and wounding, and laziness doesn't help. So the first thing is just this, that the consequence for the sluggard can be problems that otherwise could be avoided, and pressure, which is self-inflicted. So for example, someone who is a sluggard in a work environment, someone who's lazy in a work environment, will often find that management have to structure an environment around about that individual to make them productive. They can't leave them to themselves. This is not the sort of person that can work at home, for example. This is not a sort of person that can be trusted to self-manage and self-motivate. This is the sort of person who needs pressure to produce. Proverbs 12 verse 24 says this, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labour. And so there is undue pressure required in order for this person to perform. So someone who's lazy will find themselves with problems that otherwise could be avoided, and with pressure applied to them to make them work. Pressure which is self-inflicted. So you have this whole idea of pain and pressure and problems, life being harder than it would otherwise need to be because of this issue of laziness. Well, what's the solution to all of this? This is wisdom in identifying areas of perhaps my life or your life where I could be lazy, and therefore I could be suffering the consequences of that. You know, one of the main consequences, I think, of laziness on the part of an individual is that there is an increased burden on others. The sluggard, the lazy person, tends to be a taker and not a giver, tends to be a liability within a community structure, whatever that is. And for that to change, the person needs to change from being a taker to a giver, and from being a consumer to a contributor. And within any community, any relationship, laziness takes more than it gives and consumes more than it contributes. And that is the consequence of being a sluggard. But when you think about the solution is this. And I think it is interesting that you have, I think, perhaps an example of it in the prodigal son, because the prodigal son was definitely a sluggard. He took and squandered and wanted an easy life. He ended up actually having to get a job eventually, simply because he wasn't being able to eat. But I think it's interesting that the key solution in the prodigal son story was that he finally changed his thinking. He finally changed his perspective. He changed his priorities. The change came within him, not to his environment. Now, his environment changed, but that was a consequence of his change. Perspective and priority. First of all, toward God. You see that in the prodigal son. I have sinned against heaven. The sluggard does disregard God, doesn't demonstrate a love for God, a respect for God. He is, in Proverbs 13 verse 25, assumed to be wicked, because that's wickedness in itself. To disregard God, to show no love for God, no devotion to God, and therefore to men. To seek personal satisfaction, the root of least effort. That's not the way for the Christian. And the way for the Christian is to place God first in our lives, to seek to serve others, rather than to satisfy our own selfish desires as a primary aim in life. You know, Philippians 2, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, etc. Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So there's a whole reversal of a value system here, that the greatest goal in an individual's life is not to be happy, but to be holy, is not to be inactive, but to be active. It's not to be prosperous, but to be pious. I can't think of any other little expressions that summarize that, but that's the idea. And it requires a whole change of value system, of perspective, of thinking. One writer said this: the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms lost men from parasites to producers, from those who take from others to those who give sacrificially to meet the needs of the helpless. The gospel turns a man's attention from himself to others. The way to cure a sluggard is to make him a saint. Now, you may already be a saint because you're a Christian and you are in the family of God. But if you are manifesting the characteristic of a lazy person, then you're not living as a saint. You are living as a sluggard. So what's the answer? The answer is get to work. That's the answer. Overcome lethargy. Do what needs to be done. Prioritise things. Proverbs 24 verse 27, prepare your work outside. Make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, then, build your house. So really the proverb is saying this: get your priorities straight, get your work done, make sure you discharge your responsibilities diligently, properly, have things in place in the right order. And that, of course, is true not just in secular work, but also in terms of my spiritual life, the spiritual disciplines of my life, the areas of prayer and the Bible and relationship with other Christians, and all of that requires to have its perspective and priority. And I ought not to be lazy in those things. My last point is just this, that sometimes, and here's a bit of a kind of counterintuitive idea, sometimes work, secular work, is an excuse for spiritual sloth. You know, sometimes the workaholic might be very proud about how hard he works, you know, long hours and physical exhaustion and all sorts of things, and takes pride in the fact that they see themselves as a workaholic, you know, someone who provides for their family and so on. But I think it's interesting that the Bible never teaches us to be workaholics, because a workaholic is someone who doesn't have their priorities set biblically. It's a person who's so consumed by his work that he avoids other important obligations, like family, like local church life. And there are those who are just plain lazy in areas of family life and responsibility, in areas of local church life and responsibility, and hide behind their work, or even go and hide at their work. You know, the person who's never attending midweek church services, midweek meetings, because they're always working, having to work late. The question is that the case? Or is that a convenient excuse? Well, of course, that's for the individual to answer. And the answer will be different from individuals to individuals. But we must not assume that being a workaholic is a good thing. I think this, that perhaps to the workaholic, work is his line in the road, so to speak. You know, I can't do this for the Lord. I can't do that for my family. Why? Because of my work. And the work is the line in the street. Much easier to devote yourself to some task, to your employer or to your employee, than to fulfill spiritual obligations, perhaps. Something to think about. That secular work can sometimes be an excuse for spiritual sloth. So I don't know if you're a sluggard or not. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. And the reason for looking at this is to kind of get us thinking along these lines about what the Proverbs, what this wisdom speaks about when it speaks about the sluggard and speaks about laziness and diligence. And it's quite clear that the words of wisdom for someone to be truly fruitful, productive, satisfied, as an individual, as someone who is a Christian, someone who is indwelt by the Spirit of God and serving God in their life, is to have everything in its correct place, priorities set, and then to diligently discharge responsibility and obligation within those priorities. To do the right thing, and to do it well. And not to heap burdens on other people by being, quite frankly, lazy, indolent. Not to have every excuse under the sun, even rational excuses. Not to hide at my work when I should be doing other things. All of these sorts of things that we've thought about today, they're quite practical, but I think that they go to the heart of what it is to live as a Christian in our environment where work takes up so much time and where the demands are so high for so many from the workplace. And so let's not be a sluggard either at our workplace or in our local assembly, a local church, or in our family connection. Let's try and be a saint and not a sluggard. Now, you've been listening to me. I'm Stephen Grant, and this is the UTG Podcast. It's been a pleasure, and trust that God will bless you. And thanks again for listening.